how influencers, AI, and Amazon are shaping the home and housewares category in 2024. John LeBaron, Chief Revenue Officer at Pattern, is here to give us a sense of how generative AI, social commerce, and the influence of Amazon are shaping the marketplace. Pattern's a leading e-commerce accelerator and Amazon's largest marketplace seller, maintains a data lake of more than 300 trillion data points, enabling active brand endorsements of 100,000 and more creators. This session explores what's possible when you transform data into real-time generative AI, develop targeted influencer strategies, and harness Amazon's ecosystem to propel growth. And we'll give it to John.
All right, thanks, y'all. Super excited to be here. Day one, let's kick this thing off. I realize that I like to pace a lot, and so I'm going to try to actually stick in this clicker here and see if it works. If it doesn't, I'll just keep coming back here to the mic. Really excited. Flew out here from Los Angeles, but I'm actually based in Salt Lake City, Utah, and this is going to be a really fun show. I don't know if y'all are brands or your service providers or materials providers, but we're going to go through a lot of this today, and hopefully most of it is relevant. So we'll see if this thing actually works. So the journey, I guess, just a little bit of who we are and what Pattern does. Hold on. 2 seconds. My bad. Okay, this probably is not going to work, so I'm just going to keep coming back here. If you're not familiar with Pattern, which I don't expect anyone in this room really is, high level, we are Amazon's largest seller. We do more than $2 billion a year on the marketplace. We represent brands. The reason brands would want to work with us instead of selling on their own or selling directly to Amazon is generally just that we can do it faster, cheaper, and better than they can do it on their own. We have an interesting business model I'll probably get into that we actually buy inventory from brands that we work with and then sell it on the marketplaces. And as you'll see in a second, we do it all around the world. So high level, this is kind of what we do. And I'll leave some time open for questions as we kind of go along through this because I'm going to be covering a lot of different information and we're going to be going fast. So high level here, a bunch of the brands. We do represent a bunch of brands in the kind of housewares type of category, like Blendtec, like Lodge, like Geometry, and really, really excited to be here. So as you think about the global e-commerce landscape, I just want to go through some data that I think is super compelling just to educate everyone on what we're seeing from our lens and certainly how especially Amazon fits into that specific e-commerce landscape. So as you can see here, lots of growth. Basically, this is going to be a $7 trillion business, and this is all of e-commerce globally, right? So this is Amazon, this is .com, this is, honestly, even things like DoorDash is considered e-commerce. This is grocery delivery, this is Walmart.com. And you can see over here, this is pretty interesting as well. I mean, if I were to ask here, how much of, you know, revenue of all the purchases that are being made today, how much is going through e-commerce? If you're kind of millennial, Gen Z, Gen Alpha, you're probably like, I don't know, 80%. Really, that number is still in the low 20s. Of everything that gets bought in the United States, only 20% of it is going through e-commerce, which is a pretty wild statistic and just goes to show how much, you know, still upside we still have. If you think about China, by the way, it's over 50%. Of all things being sold are going through some sort of e-commerce. So the U.S. is actually kind of behind the curve as it relates to e-commerce adoption and especially mobile commerce and social commerce, which we'll get into a second. Okay, so then if you think about, you know, all those online, almost $7 trillion worth of online, where is it going? So you can see .com is about 5% of all that. Etail is basically like you're buying from a retailer. Right? So HomeDepot.com is an e-tailer. Dick's, Scheels, Nordstrom.com. D2C is Lululemon.com, Apple.com. It's the branded experience of the .com that they're doing. Social is interesting. Now, again, this is worldwide, so it's absolutely skewed by the Eastern kind of Asian markets. Social commerce, that would be TikTok Shop. That's anything you're buying from a social kind of experience. Grocery, 15%, heavily influenced by Walmart.com and Amazon to some degree. And then certainly marketplaces. That is eBay. That's Walmart.com. That is, you know, a little bit, you have to figure out how to do it, whether it's grocery or whether it's other stuff through Walmart specifically. And Walmart Marketplaces is actually upstairs. They've got a booth. I saw that for the first time walking down here today. So maybe you stop by if you're a brand looking at that. But it just goes to show you how dominant marketplaces. This is Tmall.com and JD.com. It's Amazon.com. It's Otto. It's Zalando. It's Lazada. It is, you know, Mercado Libre, all these marketplaces, which I'll show you in a second. This is what I call the solar system graph. This shows you how big these marketplaces, that 35%, how big these are in relationship to each other. Usually we think of in the US, Amazon being massive, but it is like, well, I don't actually know my solar system. Is this Neptune? I'm not supposed to say Uranus on stage, I don't think. So I think that's Neptune is Amazon. Alibaba, massive. Alibaba is comprised of Tmall, of Taobao, of Lazada in Southeast Asia. So it's a conglomerate of a bunch of different huge, huge marketplaces. And I don't even have some of the bigger Chinese marketplaces on here today. Douyin is owned by the same parent company, ByteDance, as TikTok. Pinduoduo is owned by the same parent company as Temu, which is gaining a lot of traction among, again, Gen Z and Gen Alpha here. So just goes to show you how big Shopify is, a platform that many brands use for their .com. And so this is the conglomerate, what we call GMV, gross merchandise value, for those specific brands. Just absolutely fascinating. So then if you look at where pattern overlays across all of these, this basically shows you all of those marketplaces I just talked about all around the world. You know, we've got 22 global offices and distribution centers around the world. We have more than 200 people in China. We've got 1,500 employees around the world, a bunch of them based here. And this is what we do. We take brands global and sell them on these marketplaces all around the world. So it's super fascinating, super exciting. So back, I guess, to the title of this specific session of how Amazon influencers, AI is shaping housewares and beyond in 2024. This is something really interesting. So if you think about Amazon specifically, and again, they're kind of that Neptune quasi $600 billion a year going through. They have 33 different unique categories. They have over 25,000 subcategories. So even in, think of like housewares, you know, you've got all sorts of subcategories within there. You've got linens, you've got, you know, probably like faucets, you've got pure play like blenders, you've got, you know, sheets, you've got all sorts of subcategories there, and over 350 million globally ASINs. Those are Amazon standard identification numbers. It's like a UPC, a SKU. You know, I'm not trying to be patronizing here. I don't know how versed everyone is on Amazon, so I'm going to just kind of speak out loud as we go through some of these. 66% of U.S. consumers start their online product searches on Amazon. It is a search engine, basically. Does anyone know how much profit Amazon did last year, by the way? About $30 billion. Now, that includes AWS. It includes a lot of different stuff. But I think this is an important one. For context, do you know how much revenue they did on advertising on their own platform, Amazon ads? Well, maybe actually before I say that question, how many people are a brand in the room? How many people are brands? Okay, it's a fair amount of brands. So you're probably feeling this pain. How much revenue did Amazon, advertising revenue, did Amazon do? That means the revenue they got from people advertising on their platform, on Amazon.com. $33 billion. If anyone knows what the gross margin on advertising on your own platform is, it's like 100%. It's all profit for them, right? I mean, maybe it's a little bit of server time and whatever, but think about total profit, even counting AWS, $30 billion, $33 billion in ad rev. The way I think about Amazon today is not as much of a retail. They are an advertising company. Like Google, like TikTok increasingly, massive, massive. Amazon's projected to do over $40 billion $1 billion in revenue in advertising this year. It's absolutely, absolutely staggering. I mean, this is $49 billion, so you can basically see how big it's going to get this year. And close to $600 billion. This isn't revenue for Amazon. So I correct the slide. It's GMV. It's gross merchandise value. It's all the revenue going through their platform. Because if you think about what is being sold on Amazon, you might realize this, you may not. Anyone can open up their app right now and take a look at it. Sometimes it's sold, says ships and sold by Amazon. Sometimes it says ships and sold or sold by someone else, and even if it's shipped by Amazon, it's still sold by a third party. Those third parties represent about 60% of all things sold on Amazon today. Amazon or Pattern is the largest of all of those third party sellers, but it just goes to show you so many third party sellers are on the platform. Sometimes it's a good experience, sometimes it's a crappy experience, but it just goes to show how much is happening. So something I wanted to kind of walk through, especially as we think through the influencer side and as we think about, you know, how social commerce and AI are playing into this. This is a framework I wanted to kind of use throughout the rest of the conversation. By the way, my name's John. I don't know if I mentioned that. So I jumped into this thing. I'm the chief revenue officer at Pattern. I've been at Pattern for about 6 years. I love this stuff. I'm already losing my voice. I'm getting hoarse because it's just like so exciting to me. But this is called the e-commerce equation. Very simple. Many of you know it. But revenue on e-commerce is a function of traffic to your listings. This could be your .com, this could be e-tailing, like we said before, this could be grocery. It's a function of traffic to your listings times the percent at which you convert that traffic, times the price, or the basket size, basically, of that transaction, times availability. Now, availability seems implicit, but it's not. I mean, I talk to brands every single day, and it's crazy to see how many of them are out of stock on their listings. It's crazy to see how many of them are advertising for listings that are actually out of stock. You would think that Amazon would like fix that. You're not even able to advertise on it, but or even if you're about to go out of stock, Amazon doesn't necessarily, they don't care. They want $50 billion in revenue, so they're fine with that. But it has to be available. So I'm gonna try to go through, and I don't even remember how much time. When am I supposed to end actually here? 12, okay. Hopefully I end up faster and we can just take some questions in a little bit. But I'm gonna blaze through probably not all of these because we don't have enough time, but high level, talk about traffic. And when we talk about traffic, I mean, there's so much, but it's referral traffic, it's paid traffic, it's organic traffic, it's social traffic, all the ways that you get eyeballs to your specific brand or your listings. Then we'll go through the rest of these guys. Okay, so as I mentioned just a second ago, this is getting pretty crazy. And this was even, 2 years ago at this point, 61. I think the slide I showed a second ago was like 66%. Just nuts. The number of people actually, they don't even go to Google anymore. I mean, you think about one of the biggest competitors to Google is actually Amazon, if not the biggest, because they are their own search engine, and people don't even go to Google for search for products. They just literally just open up, at least in the US. And the same thing is true in other well-established markets. Okay, this is very hard to see, so I apologize for the people at the back. I'll kind of walk you through it. It's more conceptual anyway, but this is an actual screenshot. This is in vitamins and supplements, which I guess I probably should have taken one of this category. The way that Amazon got to 50 billion or 40 plus billion of ad revenue is they absolutely re-engineered their whole website to be a sponsored advertising generating machine. And if you have been on Amazon for some time, you will recognize this evolution and you will recognize the impact to your wallet because you are spending more money than you ever have on advertising today. And the reason is because when you come to a listing, and again, impossible probably to see, you have the very top row, which is sponsor brands, that's paid placement. You have the next row, sometimes all sponsored products is another advertising product that Amazon offers. Almost all of those are sponsored. Then you might have the first organic four, but sometimes Amazon cheats and only gives you the first organic two, and then they'll still do sponsored here. So it just depends on how competitive the category or subcategory keyword on which you're bidding. Then sometimes now you'll notice they'll having sponsored editorial where Amazon is like, I mean, I don't even know how to like think about this. This is almost like, I don't know, HGTV or something like that. They'll just like put editorial on here that you have to pay for. Or the sponsored brand video is an increasing tool, that a lever that they're doing. Then Amazon might give its own basics products a boost here and allow themselves to be shown and take real estate. Then you have another row of these sponsored products. And then the fifth ranking, and by the way, this is not like, this is still what we call below the fold. You may only see this until you have to scroll all the way to the bottom before you go to page two. We have this recurring, very macabre joke at Pattern. I was like, where's the best place to hide a dead body? And it's page two of Amazon's search list, you know, search results. So it just goes to show how crazy, I don't even know why I'm holding this, this doesn't work. It just goes to show you how crazy and competitive this space is today. Okay. Quick primer on something super nerdy. I'm going to try not to go crazy deep on this. This is a concept called destiny. Pattern invented this concept. And it's probably the most important thing that I'll talk about during our time today. At a very high level, destiny is where your product should end up on a given keyword or keyword phrase. Like, what is the ultimate destiny that it should show up from an organic standpoint? Might be 200, might be 20, might be number one. Destiny is impacted by these three things: your relevance to the search term, the number and quality of your reviews for your product, and ultimately the price at which you are selling it. So we're going to go conceptually through a couple of different exercises. And, let me just think of, like, one of the brands we represent is Tumi. Tumi Luggage. I don't know if anyone has Tumi. It's wildly expensive. You might pay like $800 for a carry-on bag. So if you were going to Amazon and you wanted to search carry-on luggage, someone's got carry-on luggage. What is the brand of this carry-on luggage here?
Hartmann.
Okay. So I don't know how expensive Hartmann is, or a bunch of people have this stuff in here. Okay, so let's just think conceptually, though, of carry-on luggage for Tumi. High relevance, do they sell carry-on luggage? Yeah, so it's probably ranks pretty high. I don't have a listing here, but presuming Tumi does a pretty good job like they do everywhere else, do they have a high number of reviews and good quality of reviews? It's great quality. How about price? Not so much, right? Like Samsonite even, which is a division. I mean, Tumi is owned by Samsonite. So Samsonite, Away, Travel Pro, Swiss Gear. I'm trying to think of all these different like players in that space, but they're gonna have a lower price. So their destiny, so Tumi's destiny for a keyword like carry-on luggage on Amazon, probably not great. Now, if you start to think about like luxury carry-on luggage or expensive carry-on luggage or leather carry-on luggage or Tumi carry-on luggage, everything starts to shift at that point, because the relevance, if you type in Tumi carry-on luggage, relevance goes through the roof. Like Amazon knows, or at least its A9 algorithm knows, you really want, if you're searching for Tumi, you want to see Tumi. So your destiny on branded keywords would go kind of through the roof. But that's an important thing to understand. So the next thing to understand as you go through here is that a lot of brands that we talk to are like, what is your return on advertising spend, your ROAS? What is your TACOS, total advertising cost of sale? These metrics that the kind of industry has glommed onto. The most important metric for us is not any of those. The most important metric for us is, how well are you improving on winning more organic keywords? And the reason that's the most important is because it's free money. If you don't have to spend on advertising, don't. We already know Amazon's getting $50 billion, so it's like, try to not spend as much and focus your energy on keywords that you can win organically. And winning means top four, because we just saw a second ago, like, if you're not in the top four, you're kind of like dead to the world. So if you can win a keyword in the top four, that is where the game really starts to change on Amazon. And this graph has basically start to show, hey, in the beginning, you might have to juice your ad spend a little bit to show up on a bunch of different keywords that you're not winning today. But as you start to win that on a keyword level, your ad spend should go down, and your organic revenue for those keywords should go up. And this is what Pattern does day in, day out. You have to marry intelligence on what you actually could win for with an algorithmic machine that basically goes in and reprices bids according to your propensity to win on that keyword. So what we would do with Tumi and what we do with Tumi every day is we understand which keywords they have mathematical propensity to go win, AKA destiny. We marry that with an algorithmic bid that goes in and starts to say, okay, we know that leather, luxury, handbag, or carry-on luggage is a keyword they should win for, and we're gonna start a bid at 50 cents just to get impressions. If no impressions happen at 50 cents, the algorithm will raise it to 60 cents, then 70 cents, then 80. As soon as it gets impressions, it'll hold the bid. As soon as it gets clicks, it'll start to increase the bid. If it gets clicks and conversions, it will continue to increase until it becomes a thing that you're winning on. If it gets clicks but it does not convert, that's wasted money. You don't want to pay for clicks if it's not ultimately going to convert. Maybe the math was wrong. The algorithm will back that down and start on the next keyword. And we do this thousands of times every day across thousands of keywords, across thousands of products. And so it's really not a task you can do manually or by a person. It has to be married. It's almost like algorithmic trading on the stock market. It just has to be done via machine learning and AI. So that's what we'll get into that in a little bit too. Okay. So that is the concept. Your digital shelf is basically your closest competitors on Amazon. And a lot of people think, okay, if I'm Tumi, then my closest competitor has to be, you know, something that I'm getting knocked off at Nordstrom. Maybe it's like Away or something like that. Amazon and the data below it will start to show you who you may not even know. Many brands we talk to don't even know who their closest competitors are on Amazon. So I just chose this one. I saw them upstairs today. Uni, I don't know if you guys are familiar, they're pizza ovens. They're about to launch a new one. It's a very hot category. So one of the things that we start to look for is across keywords and across brands, who is showing up next to you on the most number of keywords, the most frequently, in the most correlated fashion? So when someone types in wood-burning pizza oven or gas-powered pizza oven or at-home pizza oven or affordable pizza oven or portable pizza oven, here is what's showing up. Now, everything in blue is the same brand as you. Everything in yellow is a competitor. So one thing that's pretty interesting about Uni specifically is like they're mostly competing against themselves, which is actually pretty good. That means they have very strong brand preference for their specific category. And that means if you're a competitor to Uni and you're trying to take them out or steal share, you kind of got your work cut out for you. This is a free tool. Anyone can go to pattern.com and click on free tool. You will be taken to your digital shelf. You can look at any product on Amazon. You can look at your products. You can look at a competitor product. But this is highly educational. One thing that's very hard to see probably on the down low or in the back is, I can barely read it here, what you see on the bottom. This says keywords in the top four for this specific product. This means keywords that this brand is in the top four organic spots for. And this says keywords on page one. There's only 80, this Karu 12 multi-fuel outdoor pizza oven is ranking for 81 keywords, and they're winning. Basically, they're in the top four organically for 81. And you would think that's amazing. And then you can see over here, it's ranking for 880. Pattern has products today that are ranking, because of this whole process I just went through, they're ranking in the top four on over 8,000 keywords for one product. So it's almost impossible to think, how could there even be 8,000 keywords that are relevant to carry-on luggage? It's pretty mind-blowing. So this is one thing that we start to look at is, okay, we know that Bighorn is a huge competitor, Bertello, that is not an actual another Uni oven. And you can start to see Bighorn is ranking on 163 and 253 respectively on two different products. So whoever is at I don't represent any of these brands, by the way. Whoever is representing Bighorn either has more implicit destiny, just probably because they're priced, Uni, I don't know what the price was, probably like $600. This is $293. So Amazon is basically giving them a little bit more real estate naturally, but they're probably being represented fairly well as well. So just something to kind of consider on. This is an example of a brand in the kitchen appliance space. We increased 163%. This is just in Europe in 8 months. This is by kind of implementing that strategy that I just talked to of helping them rank on more organic terms than anyone else in their competitor. Okay. I'm going to get through this fast so we can take questions here. So just remember them if you can. I wanted to go through the influencer marketing side. This is another big piece to driving traffic is influencer marketing. Now, a ton of people have been burned on influencer marketing because same sort of thing as keywords. They've probably been spending their money on the wrong influencers or on the wrong content or expecting things to change. This is a crazy graph, though. Kind of hard to read. Sorry, it's a lot. It basically shows by generation where they are discovering new products. So you can see for baby boomers, they're still, and honestly, even Gen X, I don't know how, I'm Gen X. I don't even watch TV anymore. But it's like, you know, TV and in-store is still the number one way that they find out about new products. But then you see this interesting, even from a color perspective, the pendulum shifts way over onto influencers and social media and word of mouth, which those two are like wildfire together. Social media is basically word of mouth in a way. And so it just goes to show if you are a brand and you do not have your eye on the ball of what is happening from a generational perspective, you are probably in quicksand and you don't even know. Like your whole go-to-market is eroding before your eyes. And if you are not on the ball in terms of what's next for these, but again, I'm not trying to like be a doomsdayer. It's just we all have to improve on the way that we kind of think about this. So this is really, really fascinating. So pattern, trying to eat our own medicine of not knowing a ton about social, we acquired a social and community building platform, like a CRM, for your influencers. So if you're managing a bunch of influencers, you need to figure out how to pay them, how to give them discount codes, how to find them, how to manage them and communicate with them. All that stuff is done. It's a company called Current.Tech. You could go to their website, Current.Tech, and kind of get a sense. There are other people in this space, though. Grin is like probably the top one. If you manage a bunch of influencers, you might use a software called Grin. And so Current is part of the Pattern family, and we do this. And you know, we have more than 100,000 creators actively endorsing brands across our hubs. We are signing up more than 100 ambassadors every day. We have more than 50,000 assets that are, it's basically user-generated content, and more than $50 million of tracked monthly ambassador revenue for our clients. And so this is an area that you cannot just simply ignore. You cannot put your head in the sand. You have to get in the game. You're going to make mistakes. You're going to do it wrong. But this is an area that Pattern has doubled down on as well. So just back to like the pizza oven kind of concept. Uni, one of these videos from them, 1.7 million views. Gosney is another really up-and-coming kind of pizza oven manufacturer based out of Britain. 1.5 million views on one of theirs. And this Bighorn, this is one that I was talking about, is 2 million views just on one. So you think about what it would take to get million views either from an ad perspective or from a TV perspective, all that sort of stuff, really important. Now, back to the e-commerce equation, user-generated content like this, or social content, even if it's not generated by a user, it's generated by the brand, this converts at a much higher level. And so part of the beauty of doing this sort of emotion is you can actually start to put this sort of stuff in your Amazon listings or on your .com listings, and it will convert at a much higher level. This is a really interesting example because Gosney just barely came out with a new pizza oven last week, right? There was all this hype built up to it. They sent out emails to people. This thing sold out, the Arc XL, and I guess I am somewhat biased because I bought one of them because I love pizza. But I also have an Uni too, so I'm not trying to say that they're the best. This thing sold out in 5 minutes. Crazy. Crazy hype, crazy anticipation, crazy buildup. Already had 7,500 people on the waiting list before they even launched it. This is, if you think about like, I don't know if people are familiar with like Stanley mugs, those huge like thermos, I mean, insane. People waiting outside for this sort of stuff. That does not happen in a traditional kind of like just advertising, put it on Amazon. That happens through curated assortment, deeply listening to customer ideals, heavy social presence, heavy word of mouth, and then really glomming on to things like color. I mean, look at it. This thing's beautiful. It's got like a bone or an ebony outside exterior that's like super glossy. So I think there's a certain like product design, packaging, social, get people lathered up about this stuff that's pretty sexy as well. Okay. Now to conversion. Again, I won't be this deep on all of these, but it's just, it's so freaking fun. So I would say at a high level, the key to conversion is having great assets. The problem is, even if you have a ton of assets, you can't find them. They're sitting in Dropbox folders or sitting in Google Drive. Like, you have to send. We don't have a Dropbox fan over here. But you have to be able to send them to the Home Depots, to the Shields, to the Cabela's, to the Nordstrom's, to the Best Buys of the world, and to the Amazon. And you have to get those assets to them because they all have different requirements. This one has to be sized at this. This one has to be cropped at this. This one has to be your DPI. And so it's very, very complex. So same thing, Pattern acquired a company that does this. DAM, PIM, product experience management. It is called Amplify. And we do this a ton for brands so that it's easy to use. You have advanced AI helping detect what products you have or what images you have if they're brand compliant across Walmart, across eBay, across Target, across Amazon, and then syndicating to those specific. Now, if anyone uses syndication today, syndication is basically you're telling that image to go get posted on Lowe's or on Home Depot or on Amazon. The leading service provider in the space is called a company called Salsify. Even Salsify, they're like best in class. Their uploads error like at 30% of the time. So even when you have a best in class solution, you still have to go in and manually update these imagery. And this is what Pattern is of. We have 200 people sitting overseas. Anytime it fails, it's called a white glove service. They just go in and upload all of the stuff manually for you at like $4, $5 an hour. So it's very, very impressive. So I'll just say that. Now, it's pretty hard to keep all of your content updated in all the right channels, all the right time. This is an example of Pandora Jewelry. Again, I apologize, probably should have chosen one in the housewares. This is their actual listing on Amazon before working with Pattern. They're a client today. Now, back to Destiny, I guess. They have 223 4.5-star ratings. I honestly don't know how. I think if I looked for Pandora charm bracelet on Amazon and saw this, I guarantee I would think it was fake. Like, there's no way. If you go to Pandora, you go to the airport, you go down, they're probably here on Magnificent Mile, they probably have a store here. You're used to it feeling dialed. You walk in or buy the store and you're like, dude, this looks sweet. It's like jumping out at you. They have these great models. It's like all this stuff is bright. You go here and it looks like, no offense, a dumpster fire. And you're like, I don't even trust this is real. So this is when we started working with them. We did a ton of work on their brand palette. We did custom photography. You know, their brand is so interesting. It's like, we only want ears, necks, and wrists. Like, they don't want to see anything of the rest of the model. And then using AI to basically sort through all of the questions and the imagery. And most of those are like, how do the clasps work? How many charms can fit on one bracelet? Is this hypoallergenic or is it real sterling silver so I don't get a rash? Like, all that sort of thing kind of starts to come together and we put it right there. Conversion on these specific listings jumped by more than double. And it's not hard to see why. And now, the thing is, if you can get your conversion rate to double, your revenue doubles. That's how the math works. And so it's really, really great. Same traffic, you don't even need more traffic. Just improving conversion on the listing by double, your revenue doubles on that specific product across all the keywords. And so it's really, really fascinating. This is a great example. I wanted to show you how Pattern does. We have a full in-house creative studio. We have more than 50 people shooting, designers, color rendering, 3D modeling, all that sort of stuff. So I'll shut up for a second, take a drink, and you can watch a quick video brands that we represent and work with here. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know that I feel good.
Yeah, I'm a chart topper, I'm hitting home runs. I'm such a showstopper, shining like a diamond. Blessings right on the horizon, only see that silver lining. Yeah, this must be perfect timing, good energy. Always taking over me, when we get together, we just make the best memories. I can feel that energy, always taking over me. No one does it better, we just make the best.
You know that I feel good.
that fun? I mean, that is so cool. I was talking to the CMO of Boardriders not too long ago, and she was like, you want to find partners who represent your brand with the same passion and enthusiasm that you have for your own brand. Because it's like your baby. And when I look at this, I just get like tingles, I get smiles, because this was all shot and done by our team. These aren't brand assets. But you would never know they were done by Pattern. You would think they were done by the brand. And that's because hopefully we're doing a great job of imbuing all of these assets with that same passion, enthusiasm, and word mark for the brands that we represent. But this is game changing from a conversion standpoint. Okay, last topic, and then we'll get to questions, is AI. Does anyone know what this picture is of, by the way?
I used to work on the trading floor.
Did you? Where's this at? What are we looking at? Pretty awesome. This is Chicago's Mercantile Exchange. Oh man, this is you probably have some stories. I got to talk to you after this. So, this is what the world used to look like in New York City, in Chicago, in Jakarta, in many of these big exchanges around the world. If you've never read this book, it's fascinating. Michael Lewis is the one that wrote The Blind Side, The Big Short. You know, this Flash Boys, I read it. It's just absolutely fascinating because I come from a telecom background. And this book talks about literally how to get the microsecond advantage, they were literally digging trenches from Chicago to New York City to lay fiber optic cable, because whoever had the fastest speed would be able to make the fastest algorithmic trades. I mean, it's just like pirate, you know, class warfare here. So the world clings to its old mental picture, that picture I just showed you, of the stock market, because it's comforting. It's so hard to draw a picture of what has replaced it. What has replaced it is zeros, ones, AI, algorithms, all that sort of stuff that is very hard to understand. And it's almost unfair, even if you're playing by all the rules, those who have the data, those who wield it the fastest, end up winning. I do not have a quick way to be able to go through all the way AI is affecting e-commerce, but it is staggering. And we are scrambling our fastest to stay on top of everything. Just take a look at this, though. This is crazy. So this is one product review on Amazon, okay? 4 stars, wonderful, but not for international overheads. This was Travel Pros, another suitcase brand. So well-made, recent flight to Canada, didn't fit because it was too wide, I had to put it in front of the seat, blah, 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 okay, whatever. This is what's crazy. AI, just by this name, can go in and detect what is the probability that this person is age 52? 86% probability. Just based on that, first name and last name. Gender, 96%. That's anyone could probably do that. Ethnicity, white, non-Latino. Probability of that, 91%, just on the name. If not, then black, non-Latino, well, probability is 93%, if they're not white. So just, and then this goes down to like where they live. Like, there's a bunch of it, like, not creepy where they live, but like generally what part of the country, et cetera. And it's not only doing the name, it's doing the way, you know, the syntax of how it was communicated, the fact that they're going to Canada, like all these inputs that feel like rather benign to us are aggregated, pulled against millions, hundreds of billions of other data points and pulled out here. So insights, you know, the quality, it's well made and beautiful. The challenges, it's too wide for the overhead. It's not ideal for long flights, uncomfortable. No one wrote this. This is all AI basically parsing out what's going on here. The recommendation, communicate how customers can compare the case for longer flights in the image, low priority bullet, or A-plus content. So this is where it starts to get crazy, because you can actually plug this AI recommendation and analysis back into actually automatically creating images and then syndicating those through all that foundational stuff we just walked through here. So as AI analyzes an existing image and listing on Amazon, it will start to pull out more than 100 attributes that are extracted or inferred from this specific listing. And it'll start to now compare all of that data across all of the digital shelf I walked through earlier, see where there are gaps, see how those other digital shelf brands are comparing or winning, and not just the brands, the products, and what we would need to highlight for Travel Pro in order to help them win. Are there any massive positioning gaps in the content that we would want to change? Absolutely mind-blowing. Impossible to do manual, but very, very easy from an AI to go through and do this at the product detail page level. The same is true, and by the way, back to that digital shelf, just seeing, okay, what if I compare the positioning of Samsonite versus Briggs & Riley? Well, if I know Briggs & Riley is winning double the revenue, there's probably a thing or two I can learn from that specific brand in the way that I position my product against. And I know it's a very close competitor. And so these are where those search term come in, the conversion share of each of those keywords, and how I start to position that back into the title, the listings, the A-plus content on Amazon. Another crazy thing is, I've got to skip through some of this, is imagery. We know from Amazon that for everyone who buys a product, 90% of them look through every single image in the listing before adding to cart. So we know images are like the number one thing you can do to improve conversion. Well, there's a lot of different images as you look at a specific listings. We've used AI and smart people to detect more than 64 image archetypes. Now, this is nerdy ass stuff. I won't spend a ton of time on it, but it's like an image archetype is basically the motion that you are trying to convey in an image. So you can think of like one of the archetypes would be like a side-by-side comparison. One type of archetype would be a silhouette shot with just the product, nothing. Another archetype might be a customer recommendation, where you have like the reviews or some sort of, I'm trying to use social proof. That would be an archetype. Another archetype might just be an image with callouts. You know, that's where you see the image plus a bunch of text layered on top of it to say like spinning wheels, telescopic, you know, handle, whatever. Another archetype could be like a lifestyle image. You know, I'm out like waving my hand, walking through the Eiffel Tower or something like that with my luggage. So we basically can have AI detect which image archetype everyone is using in their listings. And this is where it just gets absolutely bonkers. Because then we can also compare all of that data to all the products that are winning and basically say, come back to a brand and be like, in this category, we don't know why. If you have a pet, if you have a dog in one of your images, your conversion rate will increase by 3%. It's stunning and a little bit creepy, but it's just crazy. And it makes so much sense, but it's just so hard to try to do at scale, and it requires smart people, smart automation to kind of come in and do some of this stuff. And so again, I'm just kind of showing what this starts to look at, where, you know, this looks at this, what are all of the different, you know, archetypes, how many of those archetypes is one specific brand using, and then back to the concept of the arbitrage opportunity of where there's a real opportunity. And you do that not just against the competitors, we don't want to just copycat, but in context of the reviews, of the people that are looking for you. Like if you knew based on all your reviews that you skewed more heavily toward a Gen Alpha or toward baby boomers or to Gen X, you could start to impact your positioning based on some of that sort of stuff. I looked at this the other day. You guys have probably seen this. I've seen it in the gas station, and I've seen it on Amazon, where it says, as seen on TikTok. I'm like, what the hell does that mean? Like, just because it showed up on TikTok, that's a reason to buy it? But people know that that's what ends up happening. Okay, so I won't go through all this stuff. I think this is the last thing that's really important of AI is not going to steal your job. But people using AI will absolutely steal your job. And so I just think that's an important thing to remember. It's upon all of us to start going through this and learn all of these different things. And we want to be an accelerator. Again, this is how our product works. We buy your inventory. We do everything else for you. And we sell on these marketplaces. And we try to aim to take like a very small margin on any of this sort of stuff. So we love accelerating brands. We're super passionate about e-commerce. Hopefully that came through today. And this is how we sell at a high price, and then it's basically everything else is we don't try to mark it up. Our goal is to try to get massive scale, which we're at $2 billion, and just work with the very, very best brands in the industry. So I won't make you guys take a picture of this. This just shows you how much deeper we go across the e-commerce equation than we did today. And the list goes on. This is not even comprehensive at this level, but it just goes to show you how complex and what the opportunities are. If you are firing on all cylinders across all of these, something good is going to happen. So thank you guys so much.
John, thank you. Do we have questions? All right.
Thank you for that. That was great. One super quick question and then sure. An actual question that will require a more thought out answer. First, have you turned a profit yet? And second question is, how do you guys think about regulation in the future of your business model surrounding AI?
Yeah, so the first question, yes, we're profitable. We have been since day one. I joined the company 6 years ago. We've always been profitable. We strive for like a 3% EBITDA. So it's not unlike probably like traditional crazy retail. Like you live and die on very thin margins, but the smaller we keep our margins, the more we can pay for products from the brands that we represent. Second thing is there's regulatory influences across everything. There's regulatory influence at the marketplace level on Amazon and TikTok. Are they monopolies? Are they, you know, dangerous to the health of the economy or to national security? There's regulatory influences on the products themselves, especially if they're topicals, consumables, all that sort of stuff. And absolutely there's regulatory influences on the data itself. And so I would just say, we have the highest standards of integrity. We are not, like a lot of third-party sellers on Amazon have a bad rap because they're shady, they break rules. At $2 billion representing the biggest brands in the world, we do not have the luxury of doing anything off gray. We don't even go into the gray territory. And some people view that as a negative because they want people like kind of shady on their side. That is not who we are, that's not what we do. We think we can win by being super upright, and we are very stringent on Amazon's policies, on any of the government, on the privacy policies, and so we'll just see how it goes, but however the government ends up regulating it, and then we obviously regulate ourselves in terms of making sure we're not doing anything that would be perceived as super objective, but yeah, it's a very crazy space, and I would just say you kind of have to lead with integrity because government won't catch up fast enough to preclude you. So you have to have your own internal, you know, throttle basically on doing the right things.
Is anyone else? Up. Excuse me.
Okay, fine. Okay, this is tricky. The imagery that Pattern uses, do you account for, and I'm just talking about the U.S. right now.
Sure.
Americans have biases and prejudices that are tricky where images are concerned. Do you program that? I mean, if I was doing, I would program that in once I had it, like I know what it is. But do you account for that? Have you seen in the history of some imagery that the expectations that you had, you didn't meet them and you figured out that it was that?
Yeah. So high level, and thanks again for coming, guys. If you want to reach out at all, I'm just john@pattern.com. If there's any other questions we didn't get to, feel free to reach out to me. So I think the question by and large is like, there are a bunch of implicit biases. Do you ever go back and revisit those biases? Am I characterizing this the right way? As you learn more about how the assets are performing. Is that kind of fair? Yeah, the question is absolutely. That's actually a danger of AI in some ways, is it doesn't come out with a lot of new insights. I mean, there are a ton of new insights, but it's going to reinforce in some ways existing biases and stereotypes. So yeah, I think that's part of what I talked about earlier in having good integrity and then just good data cleanliness in terms of always going back and revisiting that data, kind of A-B testing, that sort of thing. So it's great.
Anyone else?
Just real quick, is Amazon the only marketplace that you have mastered or that you utilize your skills?
Yeah, so I'm not sure at what point you kind of came in, but maybe I'll bring this slide up toward the beginning. No, we represent brands across marketplaces all over the world. I would say absolutely our data, technology, automation, first class on Amazon. But we do this on Walmart, we do this on Target, we do this on many marketplaces around the world. Like I said, we have more than 200 people in China alone that are working across these, and we continue to build the platform out across almost every major dominant marketplace.
If we have one more question. All right.
How you doing? So I'm on Shopify, not on Amazon. Is it possible to leverage your AI software from a Shopify brand, or does it have to be on Amazon?
If you what? Sorry, say it one more time.
Is it possible to leverage your AI software from a Shopify brand, or does it have to be on Amazon?
No, it doesn't need to be on Amazon. I think the reason why we're so adamant about Amazon is because, as I said before, 60% of all product searches start on Amazon. And so even if you are not on Amazon, you want to be looking at who your competitors or would be or could be, because it reflects so much of the U.S. search behavior that brands, many brands use us for, they use the Amazon data for their D2C, they use it for their in-store retail, they use it for Walmart. So I just think we use it more as almost like search engine data as much as Amazon-specific retailer data. So.
All right, well, thank you again, John. Thanks, everybody, for coming. I hope you enjoyed the session.
Thanks, y'all.